Over the last couple of weeks, I've seen lots of photos on Facebook of children heading off for their first day at school. Perhaps you've seen similar sorts of photos. Maybe you've taken those photos yourselves. Well, earlier this week, I saw a story on the Channel 4 News about a little boy called Loand. And it was Loand's first day at school. But he was struggling to fit in. Loand comes from Iraq and he's deaf. And so he has very limited communication skills. In 2015, his family fled from Iraq after ISIS ordered that all disabled children should be killed. So Loand and his family made a dangerous journey to the EU. And then in order to keep their son safe from there, they have carried on and they hid in a lorry in order to get to the UK. Now that he's here, he's getting help from the Royal School for the Deaf and he's beginning to learn to communicate. But of course, the family don't know if they'll be allowed to stay. So who knows what the future will hold for Loand. At the moment in our Sunday sermons, we're thinking about the kind of church that we are. A couple of weeks ago, we thought about being a church that's welcoming. And then last week, we were thinking about being a church that's a community. And today, we're thinking about being a church that's inclusive. Loand's story reminded me just how desperate people are to be included and how many barriers can stand in their way. The Bible's full of people like Loand. And so for the next few minutes, I want to think about that story that we've just heard from Luke's Gospel, about that woman who was healed, and what it says to us about being an inclusive church. The story we heard from Luke's Gospel is all about a woman who's been suffering from internal bleeding for 12 years. No one could heal her. The chances are that she had spent all of her money on possible cures, but none of them had worked, and so she was now living in poverty. Her illness had impacted her socially, impacted her physically and economically, but it also had an impact on her socially. Because of the bleeding, under Jewish law, she was classed as unclean. And the law said that she should be excluded from the community. There was actually some good sense behind that. The idea was that it was meant to promote and safeguard public health and stop the spread of disease. But the result was that no one could touch her or be touched by her, or they would be classed as unclean and they would have to be excluded. So if that woman had had a husband, and she probably had in that culture, he would probably have divorced her because she was unclean. And she wasn't allowed to attend the temple for worship either, in case she contaminated other people. So like Loand, this is a person who was effectively cut off from the people around her. Jesus does three significant things in this story. First of all, he allows the woman to touch her. In fact, he draws attention to the touch. And that touch brings her instant healing. Secondly, he calls her daughter, short for daughter of Abraham, a sign that she'd been restored socially into the community of faith and that she belonged again. And thirdly, he drew attention to her faith. In Jesus' time, there were lots of laws about who should and shouldn't be included, who should and shouldn't be excluded. And repeatedly in the Gospels, Jesus breaks those rules and he touches the people that are excluded. He touches the dead to bring them back to life. He touches lepers and people who were ill. He touches Gentiles, people who were outside God's family and considered unclean. He touches the demon-possessed that other people feared. He touches prostitutes. He touches criminals. The stories go on and on and on. And in this story, he affirms the touch of a bleeding woman, something completely taboo for a man in that world. Jesus behaves in a way that is quite controversial because it is radically inclusive. He touches people that other people would shrink back from. He bends the rules, and he breaks the rules, and he rewrites the rules. But Jesus' behavior was challenging, and the example that he set for his disciples was neither easy nor comfortable. Earlier this year, our church council, which is our leadership team, made the decision to join an organisation called Inclusive Church. We did it because we recognise that there are a lot of people, especially lesbian and gay people, who don't feel welcome in church. And so we wanted to do something to show that this is a church where everyone is welcome. And so we've changed the front page of our website so it says this: we believe in inclusive church. Church which does not discriminate on any level on grounds of economic power, gender, mental health, physical ability, race or sexuality. We believe in a church which welcomes and serves all people in the name of Jesus Christ. But being inclusive is more than just a statement on a website. In this story, Jesus calls the woman daughter. It's a way of announcing to the crowd, this woman is now healed, which means after 12 whole years, she can be included again. But it can be challenging to include people. After 12 years of giving this woman a wide berth in public, people have to change their behaviour. They have to change their attitudes and their ingrained habits. Our first reading this morning said this: there is neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Jesus Christ. People often wonder how it is that the New Testament can be so full of these incredible, inclusive statements, and yet at the same time have so many verses full of detailed and seemingly legalistic instructions about relationships, behaviour, worship, money, food, so on. Why is it that the New Testament teaching sometimes seems so confusing? My view is that people didn't know how to put this theory into practice. They didn't know how to do the things that Jesus was doing. So Paul, who's the author of much of the New Testament, gives them detailed, context-specific instructions on how to be inclusive. And actually, it differed from context to context. And many of you will be aware that in the Church of England at the moment, the church is in difficulty over the issue of sexuality. It is beginning to pull itself apart. But actually, what I see in the church is what I see in the New Testament. People trying to work out the gospel in practice, trying to work out what it means today to be like Jesus, what it means to be holy and loving and radical and inclusive. And just as that process was controversial and sometimes painful in the New Testament, the same is true in the church today. Earlier this week, there was a big furore in the news about the Great British Bake Off leaving the BBC. If an innuendo-based baking show can cause that much consternation, perhaps it's okay that in the church we are finding it hard to work out what we think and to work out what to do. I think it's fine for the church to take time to work out how to be faithful to Jesus and faithful to the gospel. And of course, it's not just lesbian and gay people who need to know they're welcome. Just over a week ago, I updated our church entry on the Church of England website, and there were boxes to tick to indicate what you offer as a church. You could tick to say whether your church is wheelchair accessible. Does it have baby changing? Does it have large print books? Does it have braille service cards? Is there sign language translation available? Is there a hearing loop? Is it autism friendly? There are so many people for whom coming to church is practically or physically challenging, let alone the fear of prejudice or exclusion. As I ticked those boxes and as I left some of them blank, it made me realise that being inclusive requires effort and it requires change, as it did for that community that that woman belonged to. Finally, Jesus draws the attention of the crowd to the woman's faith. He says to her, "Your faith has healed you." It sounds as if he's saying she somehow healed herself by having enough faith, but that's not the case. What matters here is the person in whom she has the faith, which is Jesus. She's healed because she trusts that he is the one who has the power to save her. Let me just reread you that line from Galatians. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. The Christian community is a diverse group of people who are united in Christ. And what qualifies you to be in Christ is not your behavior or your background, but the fact that you are like the woman in this story and you believe that Jesus is the one who saves. Everyone is welcome in church, whatever you believe or don't believe. But the Bible's very clear that what makes the church a unique and special place is that we are a group of individuals who are joined together by Jesus. We're not inclusive for the sake of being inclusive. We're inclusive because Jesus is radically inclusive. And it's faith in him and him alone that makes you a Christian. Living all of that out in practice is not easy and it's not always comfortable, but it is something we are called to pursue, and we're called to pursue it for the sake of the Loans of this world, for the sake of the bleeding women of this world. And that's why we want to be an inclusive church. Amen.